that there's a difference between becoming a Christian according to the gospel of Christ and being member of a denomination. There's a difference. Many men and women associate church membership with being a Christian. It never dawned on them that what Jesus Christ has told us here in the Bible, what to do to become Christian, is different from what various churches tell us to become member. So I come back to the point that a man or a woman who has never become a Christian the Bible's way, that man or woman took sick, is dying, the person may feel that on that dying bed, as an alien sinner, man or woman was never become a Christian, the Bible says. Person think that they can simply call upon Jesus Christ and be saved. And you know where they run to for help? The thief on the cross. God has sent you here this morning, if you are a visitor, to learn this. No man or woman today can be saved like the thief on the cross. If you should feel you need clarification, I'll be glad to personally meet with you on the phone or in person to answer any question that you may have. And the church's telephone number is here, 933-5550. So let me repeat that no man or woman today can be saved like the thief on the cross. I could go in more detail to tell you that the thief on the cross died between two testaments. I could tell you that the thief on the cross could not be directed to do what the Old Testament said, because at the very moment he was on the cross dying, the Old Testament was being nailed to the cross. I could further tell you that the thief on the cross could not be directed to the gospel of Christ, because the gospel of Christ had not yet become law. Because it is the gospel of Christ is the will of Christ. And Jesus Christ, who is inspired writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, tells us that a man's will become legal after the person died. Christ was still alive on the cross. He had not yet died. So the thief on the cross died between two testaments. I could go more about the thief on the cross. But what I'm begging you to, don't look for shelter. Wait. You know, many men and women, literally, they believe there is a God. They believe that there will be a hell and a heaven. But, you know, living in sin and pleasure in this life is so nice and sweet that they don't want to give up sinful living here. So you know what their plans are? They will live in disobedience, in sin, in ungodliness, until the last few days left in their life. When the doctor tells them that they have only a week or a month, that's the time they're ready to repent. Ladies and gentlemen, we can trick one another. You can never trick God. You see, not only that, remember, Christianity, going to heaven, being saved, where one day you will be in a state and a place where No tears, no suffering, no stress, no sickness, no death, no hunger. Yes, one day, through Jesus Christ, we will be in that state and at that place. But ladies and gentlemen, to get there, you will have to live a particular life here. And you know what? Christianity is to help us get ready for that life. May I just drop this along here? Worship. Worship ought to be a part of the Christian life. You know why? Get this and get this right. Because in the world to come, that's what life will be about. Worshiping God. So, wait. Let me drop this. I don't even touch my lesson yet, truly. I'm just giving some introduction. May I? There are Christians right in this audience who feel satisfied. We come to church like once a week. And we feel like we give God enough. Now, the 24 hours you and I have in the day to do our business. And most, usually 80, 90% of that 24 hours is used doing our business. Now, the few hours for the week that God allowed us and would want us to give towards corporate worship, congregational worship, many of us who call ourselves Christian believe that when I go to church on Sunday, they not see me back at the place there. Here is a tragedy with that. Many of us feel comfortable with that attitude. We give God a 2 or so hours in public worship and we convince ourselves that is sufficient. I have news for you. You know, the Bible gives us the example of the Christian in the first century meeting daily. Are we all there? That's the example that the Bible said, daily. So those of us who feel that coming to Bible study like on a Wednesday night to learn more about God's word and to witness for Christ, coming to worship Sunday morning, Sunday night, and by our very presence, by the song that we sing, we are witnessing for Jesus Christ. Now, many Christians believe, brothers and sisters, if you would feel you are giving too much, coming out to worship 2 or 3 times a week, then you are confessing to God that heaven is not for you. You get the point? Because being faithful Christian here means you are getting the practice to live in heaven, not refusing to adapt to a worshiping life here. You're only acknowledging to God that even if it were possible for you to really get into heaven, you would feel like fish out of water. You would tell yourself, no, sir, them need to worship God too often. This is not like this at all. So, when I point out that many Christians feel comfortable that they attend congregational worship once a week and they feel at ease. You know, the Bible talks about that we must be careful, those who feel at ease in Zion. That, I think, is in the book of Amos, chapter 6, verse 1, somewhere there. But the concept was Zion was among the highest peak there in Jerusalem. And it was a wild place. And anybody who lived in Zion in the ancient world, they felt safe that they could not be invaded and be attacked. The Almighty God says, woe unto them that feel at ease in Zion. Many of us, we are at a dangerous spot spiritually, and we feel as comfortable as one can feel. Can I start my lesson now? Okay. Can a backslider repent in his or her sick bed or dying bed? Among the things that we must keep in mind, God is not fiction. God was not created by the figment of man's imagination. God is real. There is no greater reality than the Almighty God. That God is not fiction would indicate that the Bible is not a fictitious book either. The Bible deals with divine reality. And as we help you to understand this question over the next two or three lessons, can a Christian who have backslidden repent on his or her dying bed? I point out today that God's inspired word paints various pictures of the man or woman in sin, the man or woman who is out of fellowship with God. There are many places in the Bible that deal with that. You know what I'm going to do today? Just introduce some of the passages that over the next 2 weeks we'll be looking at. I would ask some of the brothers who can read to get close to the mic. Just for a few minutes. We just want you to be mindful of these passages that deal with those who have once embraced the will of God, obedient to the will of God. All those who have once been instructed in God's will, and then give it up. So let us just read a few passages. The first one I go to is the book of Proverbs. And that is Proverbs 1, 24 and 2:28. Let us hear it. Because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and you did not regard God. Mercy. Read. You are set at naught. Wait. Mark where you reach, brother. What? The wise man Solomon here is giving us a picture of a man or a woman who have been instructed in God's will. God has given that man or woman all the opportunity to repent and turn to God. But the person throw God's word one side. Continue reading.
I would not apply reproof.
Mm-hmm.
I also would not.
God says, having refused all the opportunity I give you, He said, I will laugh when your calamity comes.
I will mock when your fear comes.
I will mock, not if your fear comes, you know. You see, the fear is sure to come. He said, I will mock when your fear cometh. Read.
When your fear cometh as desolation.
And your destruction cometh as a whirlwind.
When distress and anguish
cometh upon you,
then shall they call on me,
that is on the Almighty God.
God says, I will not answer.
They shall seek me early.
But they shall not find me.
You may stop there. This is one of the passages.
This one is found in the Old Testament.
While I'm not going to make a lot of comment on these passages, I'm just introducing them to you.
Read them so that in the privacy of your home, you can check these passages.
That was one. Let us look at another one by Solomon, and that is Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Proverbs 29 and verse 1.
He who often is reproved
and hardeneth his neck
shall suddenly be destroyed,
and that is without remedy.
This is fearful. This passage is fearful.
The man or woman who constantly get guidance in respect to God's will and God's directive.
You get it often, you get it constantly, but you refuse, you harden your neck.
The Bible says you will suddenly be cut off and without remedy.
This is fearful.
That was another one from Proverbs. Let us now turn to a New Testament passage. And this time we go to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 6, verse 6, verse 4 to verse 6.
May I start again?
Start again.
You're sure the word impossible is there?
If they shall walk,
Wait, don't move.
You get the picture here?
It is
impossible. Now, what is impossible?
Then it put for certain people,
for those who were once enlightened,
tasted of the heavenly gift,
made partakers of the Holy Ghost,
tasted the good word of God,
tasted the powers of the world to come.
Wait. So there's another comma.
If they shall fall away.
Wait now.
Here is it.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto righteousness.
Here is the plain, simple statement.
It is impossible
for those
who fall away, to renew them again to righteousness. That's the plain statement. All that dropped between these comma are some words or clauses to help clarify and simplify things for you. What the Bible is teaching is that you or I can become a Christian, but we can become the Christian who will reach a point of stagnation, where instead of continual growth and development in Christ, we remain at one stage year in, year out, until finally that stagnation turn to backward drifting. Little by little, we still come to church, you know. But little by little, we are backsliding. We do not even recognize it. Little by little, we drift. In fact, let me just stop here. In tonight's lesson, at our 6 o'clock service, we will be looking at the fact that there is no standing still in the Christian religion. No man or woman is expected by Jesus Christ to stand still. We are either growing, even if we live to see 1,000 years, we must be growing in Christ spiritually. If we are not growing, we are stagnated or we are going backward. We briefly look at that tonight. So we drift, until you know what? We reach a point of no return. That's what the Bible. It is impossible to renew them again unto righteousness. That means here the passage is dealing with a backslider who is still alive, but the person has reached so far from Christ, Christianity, and the church that there is nothing any preacher, any brother, sister can do to help that person see his or her need for Christ. That is a man or a woman who once knew Christ. That's one of the dangers of becoming a backslider. That's one of the dangers of being a stagnated Christian, a Christian who is neither going forward nor backward. That's the danger of this passage. What verse did you stop, brother? Six. Pick up from there. If they shall fall away. You hear that? Now, watch now. If you read this passage, you think that verse 7 and 8 has nothing to do with the backslider. It is using nature to illustrate what really happened to the backslider. Read verse 7 and 8 now. You think it's talking about farming? Well, in a sense, it's using farming to illustrate. But get the message. The earth which drinketh in a rain, which means the earth would take in the water. Watch here now. The rain that comes upon the earth. When the rain comes on the earth, it furnishes the soil with all the nourishment the soil needs to produce. Read on. The word meet there, convenient. That is the earth which benefit from the rainfall,
The earth produces fruit and product that is convenient for the person who cultivates it. Read on. That earth receives blessing. The person who takes that piece of land in charge and cultivate it and plant and gives it the water, that person feels good and blessed the earth, feel good about the soil and all the good that it produces. Read on. Wait now. But that which produces thorns, what is that, Brother Mitchell? The same earth. It is comparing two different soils. Are we all there? And don't move. It is comparing two different Christians. One produce things to bring glory and honor to God. Are we all there? And that Christian will be blessed throughout his or her life as long as you are a productive child of God. But the other piece of soil, let me hear more about it, my brother. Verse 8, I think. But that which beareth thorns, is rejected and is near to cursing, and whose end is to be burned. It presents two different soil, representing a man who or a woman who became a Christian, and for the rest of that person's life, that person is a productive child of God. That person will have God's praise. But here is another one. Became a Christian, but instead of producing good to glorify God, that person reached the point where all they produce is that which is bad. Yes. More will be said about this. Did I say from verse 4 to verse 8? That is some four or five verses. These verses are read to help get you acquainted with some of the things the Bible says about backslider. Let me give you one or two more passages. Look at chapter 10, the same Hebrews. Chapter 10, 38 and 39. Same Hebrew.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in
it. Wait, brother. The word drawback is describing a backslider. That's right. The word drawback is describing a backslider. Read that again.
No. The just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in it.
The speaker here, you know, is the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, telling us that they have no pleasure in the backslider. That's verse 38. Let me hear 39.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
Wait, you hear again? The writer of Hebrew, the inspired writer says, we, referring to the faithful Christian, we are not like those Christians who draw back. But watch here. They didn't just draw back and remain okay. They are drawn back into what?
Perdition.
Unto perdition. As time goes on, when we discuss passage like this in more detail, we'll look at what the word perdition implies.
What of them that believe the same way?
Perfect, brother. Okay, that is another passage. Let us look on yet another one. 2 Peter chapter 2. All these passages are telling us how heaven sees the backslider and telling us to make sure that we grow, because when we do not grow in Christ, we become stagnated. And from stagnation, we drift back. And sometimes we do not even recognize it. Let us hear 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 20 through 22.
For after they have escaped the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior of Jesus Christ, they are again encountered them and overcome.
Have you noticed? When we become Christian, we escape the pollution of the world. When something is polluted, the ungodly life, the worldly life, is not a healthy one spiritually. When a man sees, or a woman sees his or her need for Christ and turn to Jesus Christ, as long as you remain faithful to Christ, you are taking step in Christ to escape the pollution of the world. Read on, brother.
For after they have escaped the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are being entangled.
Notice the word entangled. Did I tell you that when the Bible talks about impossible to renew, is that we can get so deep in sin that we cannot see our way back to Jesus Christ? That's why the scripture here is using word entangled. It's like an animal tied up in the bushes and cannot find its way out. Entangled, very, read.
They are again entangled, very, and overcome. Latter end is worse than the least.
Everybody hear that? Hold the passage. While I plan to go in more detail coming. But what it is saying, to become a child of God and to go back on it, is saying it's better you did not become a Christian. Now, it's not saying you're better off, you know, because when you are not a Christian, you live in a state of condemnation. But wait, it's very important that you get. When it says the latter state is worse with them than the first, it's not saying that the man who has never become a Christian is better than you. Not really. When we are not Christian, we are in a state of condemnation. That's one of the reasons you cannot just simply call upon God and get salvation. Salvation in the passage of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it's not the one who says, Lord, Lord, that shall enter, but he that practice my will. So both Christian and non-Christian must remember that. It is a living by, a practicing of the will of Jesus Christ that going to save us, not waiting for a critical moment to get instant salvation. In fact, we like quick everything. You know, fast food, fast this, fast that. Please, when you come on the fast business, don't include God and your Christianity in that. So don't expect that just one statement from you to God save you. When Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, 21, it's not the person who says, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. Wait. And that means in whatever form that Lord, Lord takes, Christ says that will not save us. But the man or woman who do it, notice the word do it is in the present tense, mean continuous, which means it's the man who practice my will. Entangled there in the last state is worse than the first read on.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, turn from the holy command and deliver
from them. Brother, may I just drop you? May I just drop you? To become a child of God, to have the gospel of Jesus Christ as your guide, as your enlightener, it's the most awesome blessing in the world. And when we finish reading this passage, as I take some more of your time, I'll be picking up some of the things that the Bible points out happen to us when we become Christians. It's a great blessing to be a child of God. And here it is telling us that the last state is worse than the first. Read, brother.
What? It has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her were watered in the mouth.
Most of us living in the city can, you know, understand the dog pass out, vomit something that they ate, and the dog just go right back and eat it. It's not a pretty sight, but in the city, we see that. In the country, those of us who grew up in the country understand that if you take shampoo and wash down a pig or a hog and brush down its ear, just put a mud hole right beside the hog and it go right back in it. And this is the picture here. The picture being given here is that it's like Jesus Christ found us in sin and cleansed us, so to speak, use his blood. You know, like you use a shampoo and cleanse us, and then we walk away from all that blessings that come with being cleansed by Christ, and we go right back into sin as a practice. Because the passage here is not dealing with the Christian who may slip up here and there now and again. It's not dealing with that. It's dealing with the man or woman who gave up Christianity, abandon Christ, Christianity, and the church. That's what it is dealing with. May I? Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, or over the next 2 or 3 lessons, we will be examining some of these passages. There's probably 1 or 2 other passages that I have not read here this morning. But we will be examining these texts for a better understanding. Let us take a little more look at the passage of Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 4 through verse 8. Let us hear that passage again, because for the next few minutes, that's the passage we want to spend a little time on. Let us hear the passage again.
For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and are accepted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost
mm-hmm.
and are tasted the good word of God
mm-hmm.
and the power of the word to come. If they shall fall away, renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him for an open shame.
Okay. Let us spend a little time here. It is said that Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through verse 8, which has just been read, it is one of the most frightening passages in the scripture. More than one theologian has expressed this in different form, that this passage just read, found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 8, is one of the most frightening texts in the entire Bible. When the passage is telling us that a man or a woman who once knew Jesus Christ, who once participated and experienced some of the blessings that come with being in fellowship with God, but that man or woman can reach the point of drifting until it becomes impossible to get that person renewed again through repentance. You will notice that the text begins with a list of awesome privileges and blessings of being a Christian. This is quite strategic, that the writer did not just start telling us about a person who backslides. The writer tells us, here is what a backslider walk away from. Let us look at them now. And this is very important. Yes, brother.
For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the word come.
I'll be taking up those one by one, the four things that a man or woman is exposed to when you become a child of God. But let us, the Bible says impossible. Now, I mean, all of us in this audience know what the implication of the word impossible. Impossible, yes. That's what the passage says. For whom is it impossible? Is the passage telling us that it is impossible for God to forgive that person? Or is it the passage telling us that it is impossible for that person to do what is right to get back in fellowship with God? Which is it? Ladies and gentlemen, the passage is not dealing with it is impossible for God to forgive. That's not the emphasis on the word impossible here. The impossibility is not on God's part. Thank God for that. The impossibility is on the part of the backsliding sinner.
Are we all there? The Christian who backslide can reach a point of no return. That means all the prayer you and I prayed, all the talking to that man or woman can reach a point that they never see their need for Christ, Christianity, and the church. May the Almighty God have mercy upon us that none of us here today reach that point. Impossible. You see, I have pointed out that a lot of time we are drifting and we do not even recognize. That's the danger. That's the danger. You know, there are some ailments, there are some diseases that if you have it and detect that you have it, it can be cured. Huh? But it's when you have it and there is no symptoms, there is no indicator at least that you recognize. So you go on for years, and when the doctor finally tell you, you feel now, you see things get bad now. So you start feeling the symptoms. But by the time you get to the doctor, it's too late. Sin is deceptive. Sin is deceitful. We can drift from Jesus Christ and get so far, so distant from him, from Christianity and the church, that it's when it's too late. Somebody recognizes it and cannot even get us to see that we have drifted. It is impossible. Not for God to forgive, but impossible for the sinner, the backsliding Christian, to take the step back. Before we say more about this, let us examine the verse 4 again.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Mm-hmm. That's one.
And tasted of the heavenly gift.
Two.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Three.
And have tasted of good word.
Four.
And the powers of the world.
Five. Wait. As I said, I'm going to probably look at just one or two, and the less will be yours. But may I just rather run to the book of Hebrews? It seems if the writer of Hebrews loved to remind Christians of the awesome blessings that is associated with being a child of God. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 18 following. Quick, brother. Just, Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 18.
Brothers and sisters,
what? This is the same writer, you know, of Hebrews. We were at chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 8 a while ago, and we have not moved. We are just illustrating that being a child of God, there are some blessings and privileges that we should not devalue. We should not underestimate. And we should not treat them lightly. So the writer of Hebrews here in chapter 12, comparing Christianity with the law, comparing Christians with the Israelite who received the law. And it is saying to us, look at that to which we have come when we accept Jesus Christ. He said, we are not like the children of Israel. Read now, brother. We have not come.
For ye are not come under the bones that might be touched, and that burned with fire.
Wait. Brother, you see why I'm showing you? It was pure fear and dread for the Israelites. The mount quake, it burned with fire. The writer is saying to Christian, our experience in coming to Christ and Christianity is different. Read on.
And that
That's what the Israelites came to when they reached Mount Sinai. Read, brother.
And the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the word. Which voice
They begged Moses that they don't want God to speak to them. God, let Moses speak to us, because it was so awesome when God speak to them. The writer of Hebrews is reminding Christian that we do not come to that fearful experience. We come to better things. Read on, brother.
That the word should not be spoken to them anymore.
Read on.
For they could not endure that which was commanded. And it's so much as a beast touched the mountain.
You hear? It's so much that a dumb beast touched the mountain. The beast was torn to death. It was just pure fear and awesomeness. Read on. Read on.
And so terrible was the sight.
It was terrible.
And Moses said, I
even Moses trembled. Oh my God, read on. Thank you, brother. But we, notice. You know, and wait. And that's the same point in chapter 6 that the inspired writer showed. When we become Christian, we are exposed to some great privileges in Christ. You know, we'll have only time to just read, run through it, brother. But he said, you are come. You see, we have come to something too. But our experience coming to Christ, Christianity, and the church is a positive one. But ye are come.
Mount Zion.
Wait. An Israelite would understand that much more than we do. Because Mount Zion was... It was the place that everybody, you feel, David has also, David was the one who made Jerusalem the capital and made Mount Zion famous. And every Israelite wanted to be associated with Mount Zion. So the Almighty God is using here something that the Israelites were acquainted with in a positive way to bring to the Christian. What an awesome privilege it is to be a child of God. But you, the Christian, when you come to Christ, when you come to Christianity, when you come to the church, you come to Mount Zion. Read now.
But you have come unto Mount Zion.
You have come to the city of the living God when you become a Christian, when you're associated with the blood of Jesus Christ, when you're a part of the church of Christ. You come to the city of the living God. Read now. You come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Read. You come to an innumerable company of angels. Wait. We have a united nation, but it is not made up so much of man. Christian, when you become a child of God, you come to an innumerable That means a company of angels that you can't count. They become our company. Read on, brother.
The General Assembly.
Well, I tell you, you hear, brother, you talk about the United Nations having General Assembly. This General Assembly is made up of Christian and angel. And the Bible saying when you become a child of God, this is the company that you join. Read on.
The General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn.
Wait. You're sure church is there?
And Church of the Firstborn.
Brother, that's the Church of Christ. That term literally means church made up of the firstborn. Oh, Lord, at which time would allow me to go first? You know what? Wait. We have not yet touched. We read it. When the Bible, the first thing, chapter 6 and verse 4 lists, the first blessing is enlightened. We're not going to have time to deal with these five blessing, but they are telling us something. If I should ask everybody in here, are you enlightened? Everybody would say yes. But you see, the Bible make a distinction between the man and the woman who is still in darkness and the man and the woman who is enlightened. Wait. Do you have 10 PhD behind your name? In the sight of God, probably you are still in darkness. Even with all these PhD behind your name. Next week, Sunday, we will pick up on that. We want to pick up on these five awesome blessings to which we come when we become Christian. And the point is, it's like the writer is saying, how can you walk away from this and backslide? That's the idea, you know. That's how strategic the writer was being directed by the Holy Spirit. How can you walk away from this having been enlightened? How can you walk away from this? There's so much here. We beg that you do not miss the second part of this lesson next week, Sunday morning. The point to be dealt with this Sunday, tonight, while it is a part of the lesson, but I just want to deal with that aspect separate and apart from the Sunday morning part of the lesson. Tonight we look on, there is no standing still in Christianity. You cannot remain at one place spiritually. Very important that we get that. In the meantime, if you are here as a child of God, plan to remain with Jesus Christ for the rest of your life in thick and in thin. If you are a child of God who have backslidden, hurry. Make haste to come, acknowledging your sin and recommitting your life to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says God have no pleasure in them that fall back. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you have never become a Christian, there is no better time than now. Did you know that even the Bible tells you that today is the day of salvation? If you hear his voice, I'm not your own. God does not promise anyone tomorrow. He promised us now. He gives us now. And you can make use of the grace of God in Christ today, now, by becoming a Christian the Bible's way. To become a Christian the Bible's way, Christ's way, the only way, is to hear the gospel, that is, preliminaries, the fundamentals of first principle, hearing the truth that Jesus Christ died at Calvary for you and that Christ was the Son of God and that the only person who can deal with your sin problem is Christ and that you must respond to him with faith, the faith that makes you want to do what he says, obey. So, Mr. Mitchell, I believe in Christ that he died for me. What must I do else? You must repent. What is that? Repentance means that whatever wrong, whatever sinful, whatever ungodly thing you recognize in your life, you must make a commitment that you are going to turn from. It doesn't take you one whole day, one whole week, one whole month to repent. It's a thing, it's a commitment you make here in your mind that you are going to turn from sin and turn to righteousness. And then after that, you must confess Jesus Christ's name. May I put that another way? You must not be ashamed of Christ. And then after that, you must be baptized. Not sprinkled, because sprinkling is not baptism. You must be immersed, be buried under the water like Christ was buried in the tomb. In that baptism, it is where the Almighty God cleansed you from all your past sin. You come from that watery grave of baptism like a new person in God's sight. You can step forward today in another few seconds as we stand and sing. You can step forward and give your life to Christ. We are here to help you as we stand.
Thank you.